Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Back-to-back days. Wow. Kalen Patterson at West Muscle. P4P Real Talk. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle. And that noise you hear in the background has to be Dez, but we won't say that. And we are the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world, even with background noise. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck without background noise.
Through ice cream. With background noise. And now let's talk about back noise and background noise and noise in the back. I'm a dead man, guys. I just want y'all to know that. I'm the walking dead. If anybody loves that show, I'm the walking dead, or the walking Desiree dead, or the walking Desiree designated dead. Some kind of way it will happen, and everyone now knows why that she did it. Okay, just know it's not the butler this time. It's Desiree. My piece.
And that's okay. And just to confirm, I have watched enough CSI that I could pull it off. It's just all a matter of how and when, but I'm feeling pretty confident. If I really needed to, I could do it and get away with it. And there you go. There's my taxi cab confession for tonight.
Very, very comforting. Yes.
Yes. Woo! So happy Tuesday. It's a 2 for 2 for us. If you missed it last night, we had a special episode with Joseph J.B. Bolton and Joe Manning, and they were just laying mic drops on us left and right regarding their competition that is coming up. In the fall of 2018, it's called P4P Undefeated. Kalen, what were some of those mics they were laying on us?
Well, the one that I really thought was big, but they were like, oh, you know, no big deal, was the kiosk, because I'd never heard of anything like that, even remotely close to anything of that nature, where you're doing something of, you know, and then the other one was the free drug testing and poly, and then where do we go? I mean, my goodness, there's so much that was happening. I was like, I wasn't ready for it.
No. I mean, and then the really big one is if if you are the overall pro champion bodybuilding,
mm-hmm.
the next year when you come back to defend your title, you're coming back, all expenses paid. That includes lodging, that includes travel, that includes your registration. Coming back, just coming to compete, and any money you win at that subsequent show, you're pocketing 100% of it because they've covered those expenses.
Can you believe that?
No, that's awesome. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, if that's not incentive to really go balls to the wall, I mean, not that you're not going to put your best effort forward anyway, you know, that's a given. But my gosh, just to keep that in the back of your mind while you're training and grinding it out, that would be a great motivator for me.
I mean, sounds like sometimes you just can't
pull it out. Pull it out.
Because it's like what? And I think every time we caught our breath, there was something else that they were putting out, and then they were like, oh, you know, that's just one of the smaller things we were doing. And we're like, as competitors, like, wow. You know, much less listeners or hosts, where you're learning it. And, you know, like Jimmy said, we weren't privy to any of that information prior to the start of that show. So as the listeners were learning and being amazed, so were we. So, you know, people – what are you waiting for? I mean, like Des was saying yesterday, and if you didn't listen, where were you and what was going on? I mean, there's no show more popular than P4P Real Talk. So, you know, quit trying to hide. Open up. Tell the truth. You know you love us. But anywho,
Yes.
I'm just
show
so
us
amazed.
Some love.
Yeah. Came off of here. Huh?
And so, that's right. And so they were saying, they being the J and the J and the, you know, of the P for P. Well, we're gonna have the C later tonight, so hang tight with us. But they were saying that they literally have 23 mic drops. And they only gave us two, and with some smaller ones that they didn't even call mic drops, and we only got two. And now they forecasted the date for their next mic drop as August 11th. So now we got to wait till August 11th to see what's coming up next. And that doesn't even include the kiosk. So the kiosk is supposed to be available in a couple of weeks along with the website. And wherever the P4P boys are going, the kiosk is going with them. And with the kiosk, so you get to register, okay, obviously, taking care of that part, done. But then you also get access to behind-the-scenes videos of, you know, all of the planning that's going into putting this competition on, and just everything that's going to be part of the story that's going to be P4P Undefeated. So just a lot of, I guess, what you would call bonus material that's coming along with it. So, I mean, and they even said an MMM cage on the stage to 2 30-foot catwalks that extend into the crowd. And those weren't even mic drops. That's just business as usual. That's just what the stage is going to be. And I'm thinking, man, imagine that T-walk. It's not even going to be a T-walk, but it's definitely going to be a stage walk. I don't even know how they're using the catwalks. But
it's going to be a T-walk. She's going to own it.
That's right. But just think of the audience perspective, because, you know, they're always looking at the athlete, you know, straight ahead of them. The stage is always in front of them. And with these catwalks, the stage is coming out to them. So they're going to get, I guess, if you will, like a 3D view almost of the athlete, because they're going to be able to see up close from every angle and not just from the mandatory turn straight in front of them, but walking right past them. I mean, as someone, a fan in the audience, that would be pretty darn exciting to me to have the athletes be able to come out and be that close to me during the competition.
Oh, but wait. We forgot the one mic drop that basically made the mouth and jaw drop, and that's the Des, our own Desiree, is going to be the MC.
I don't know if that was a mic drop, but it is looking like that is going to be the case. So as if every Tuesday and Thursday wasn't enough for a little defix, you're going to be able to see me behind the mic, on stage, potentially, looking pretty possibly, during Undefeated. And how exciting will that be? And they're going to have a hype man, too, whoever that is. So imagine a hype man plus Des. I don't even know what kind of magic that's going to be. I just can't even fathom right now.
You've already given us a little preview with the nice hair. Looking amazing. I can't imagine what it's going to be looking like from that day. Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Yep. I got my hair did today, folks. I got my hair did. So there you have it.
So I guess they get a preview at the white party of the little cosplay days. And then next August, they get the highlight of basically Des in full entourage, I guess. Wow.
Yes, and talking about highlights, so if you missed that show with Marco Foster that we had a couple of weeks back, amazing guy, spends a lot of his time helping to fundraise for different organizations, for worthy causes, former model, and he has what he calls the White Party. And he puts that on. It's become an annual event for him. He had a pretty much a life scare. And he has overcome that. And so the first party was his birthday party, celebrating that he's still alive. And then it's just become an annual party that he uses as a fundraiser. And it's going to be July 28th. So check out Marco Foster Facebook. He's also got a website. Look for him out there. Just Google him. You'll find him. And you can buy tickets. You can attend. You can join the fun. And the thing, though, here's the mic drop on this opportunity, guys. Kaylin plus white spandex. Boom. That is what is coming up. That is what is coming up. Because Kalen has not only promised to go, but he has promised to be in white spandex. And if that is not worth a ticket for a worthy cause to boot, I don't know what is. I just don't know what is. I mean, pictures aren't going to do it justice. You're going to need to see this for yourselves. We invite you to come hang out with us. It's in Chicago, July 28th. We'll keep talking about it. But, yeah. And I'm just looking forward to see what he's going to put together. I have no idea what the ensemble is going to be, but I just know it's going to be white, and it's going to have spandex. Yeah.
Marco has already said he's putting his hand on that because he doesn't want to blow his birthday bash. Oh, my goodness. I had totally forgotten about that. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. You know, there's no way that I'm going to let you forget about that.
I know that. I know
that. Woo! July 28th. But we can't be partying too hardy.
Gluty, gluty. I got to be, like, ready.
Yeah, because, you know, following, not too long after that, is the Windy City there in Chicago also.
And we have that appointment as well. So it's we've got a very busy year this year. And, you know, it's basically taking in the next year. So, you know, like Des was saying yesterday, natural bodybuilding is taking off in ways that we would have never imagined, not even 3 years ago. And here it is basically blowing up. And you know, we're very blessed to be a part of that. But we're also very thankful to God for all these opportunities that just weren't there for natural athletes. Because, you know, anything that happens to Dez happens for natural athletes. Anything that happens for me happens for natural athletes because we are one and the same. And I will never separate myself from that because that's who we are as natural athletes. We've always been and we've always been catering to that because that's basically our nature. So, you know, be excited. Be very happy and know that, you know, anything that's happening for us, we're definitely going to put the information out there so it's ready and available for you as well. So I guess we can start about the show and answering these questions because I know people are like, well, wait a minute. They said they were going to answer some questions and we haven't gotten to this yet.
We haven't. We've gotten too excited, you know, and I'm going to throw out just real quick. There's the Natural Southern States Classic that's coming up this weekend. We've got the Chi-Town Showdown coming up May 13th. You've got the Diva All Ladies event put on by the Andersons coming up May 6th, I believe, before Chi-Town.
Yes, it is.
And then you got, and I'm just going off of memory here, folks, so I'm sorry if I'm missing something that's on your radar. We've got the Jack Halverson Show June 24th. I believe the NGA USA, that's a brand new show, but he is, you know, he's working his tail off. He's got a lot of good sponsors already lined up for it. So I'm looking for that to be a good event, even though it's a first time event. And then we've also got Derek Davis with his DFAC Augusta Natural. That's June 24th as well, same time frame. And, then we've got a little break, I think, and then August starts up again. And like I said, we've got the Windy City in Chicago, and it just kind of ratchets up from there. A bunch more shows coming up after that. So, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Very exciting.
All right.
Very exciting time. And also, I have to give my I have to give a shout out to my PIC because, like she said, the Natural Southern States Classic is coming up, and she has been more than a trooper because most people would be saying, look, I need time off from a radio show and co-hosting, and I got to do my prep. And she's prepping her booty booty off, and she's still being a great co-host. And I don't know if anybody has been truly into a prep this far and this deep before the week of the show. And, well, not even the week, days before the show. And she's still right here with me. And, I, you know, hats off to that because I know it's a struggle. And those hashtags might sound cute and funny, but they're coming from a truly personal part of a heart and life, and it's not easy. So, Des, thank you so much for being the trooper that you are.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. And I have to tell you, behind the scenes, Kaylin, my number one fan. So, well, besides Trinity, my 8-year-old, she's really my number one fan. Kaylin would be like my number one A fan.
Yeah, don't come with the number two.
If we had the segment. But, yeah, so it's been good. This prep, we'll have to go into the prep another time. It's been different, but I'm at the point now. I'm just ready to do it to it. Going to finish strong these next couple of days, and let's go. We're going to go for it. So there we have it. So like Kaylin said, you have questions. We have answers. And so we're going to go ahead and get to that. Kaylin, did you want to start, or you want me to go ahead and roll one out here, and then we'll take it from there?
Yeah, go ahead and roll that one out, because that was one that, you know, came in late, and I do apologize that we weren't able to get to it on air. But it's a very good question and a very valid question.
All right, and of course, now I have to find it. Sorry, folks. I will... As he said, days away from the stage, contest, and the prep. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, it came in towards the end of the show yesterday, and we weren't able to cover it. Hold on. How do you like my singing voice? Okay. So... this was still with regard to P4P Undefeated, and they were talking about the drug testing, and the question was, have they landed on a drug testing organization yet? And the answer was, no, not yet. It's still very early in the process. They have two in particular that they really like, but they are in discussions, and once they have picked an organization to be their sanctioning testing partner, they will let everyone know. So then the follow-up question was, what guarantee will be given that the drug test has actually been done?
And I Chad will be able to answer that in more detail, but I can definitely answer that for sure. And that would be they'll be getting either in the mail or on site. And I'm not sure. Like you said, depending on who they choose, they will be getting verification that their drug test was done, not just taken, but actually completed. Because that's been a big question in the past with organizations and some promoters. And I know that's a big issue, because what's the point in being natural if they're not being tested, basically being tested at all? So how do you know that you're going on stage with natural athletes? That's a very big concern. And I would go even further, because, you know, being with P4P for so long, they've drug screened the people that aren't competing just to make sure that, you know, the natural athletes that they're sponsoring are actually natural athletes. So, you know, that was one of the things that I loved about P4P from the get-go, is that they really wanted to be founded and well-established in being natural athletes. And, you know, a lot of people are basically fighting back now, because people can say that with pride and have the verification to show that they're not just saying they're a natural athlete, they're verified, drug-tested natural athletes. And you know, we'll always find an excuse to say they're not natural. But after all these polys and drug tests, we've seen time and time again where people have failed and failed miserably and you know, blamed, whether it be a product, a promoter, or somebody is hating them and stabbing them in the back. I get it. You screwed up, and you don't want to own up to that, because you haven't been owning up to being an unnatural athlete competing as a natural athlete. So, you know, I don't have any sympathy for that. And P4P has always been right there to make sure that they're backing natural athletes and staying natural athletes. So they've been on point with that even before this show was even a dream in JB or Joe's eye. And I'm proud of that. You know, and I think, like they said, we have water-compliant supplements. How many natural, and I put that in air quotes, supplement companies can say that? Not too many. And, you know, that now that they're actually having to be tested and being verified tested, it makes a big difference because, like, just like the fake natural athletes, there were some fake whole natural supplement companies, and I think there's been what the alarm sounded about the SARMs. Is that I think I'm saying that right? SARM is
yep.
That's what they're being called, SARMs. And they were undercover supplements, but they weren't natural helping or aiding supplement companies at all. And even the enhanced community came out against it because they were basically killing people and harming their internal organs without actually having knowledge of what they were putting in their own system.
Exactly. And so if you'll just indulge me for a quick minute, I know we get a lot of new listeners all the time, which maybe aren't necessarily familiar with all the ins and outs of competing at a natural show. So we're on the subject of drug testing. What does that all entail? Well, generally across the board, consistently, all organizations have two tests. The first is a polygraph. So every athlete before they step on stage is subject to a polygraph, and you're asked a series of questions centered around whether or not you've taken any banned substances within the allotted time frames prior to stepping on stage. So you go through that. Most athletes pass that no problem. Some don't. If you don't, it's a chance for you to just quietly, you know, not step on stage and, you know, go your merry way, watch the competition, enjoy it if you like, all of that good kind of stuff. But at that point, it's your out to, you know, just privately know that you weren't compliant and, you know, just go on your merry way. So you pass that phase of it. You go through competition. You place well. Generally, the first one and two positions, sometimes the third, depending on how many athletes there are in the organization. Then you're going to give a urine test following coming off stage, being awarded your, you know, first or second place position. And so that's what Kaylin was talking about. So once your urine is collected, how do we know for sure that it's really being tested to verify that you are indeed a natural athlete? And so, and as he said, so it gets shipped off and they'll send back a confirmation letter to the athlete and to both the organization saying this athlete has A, passed or failed, or sometimes it doesn't even come directly to the athlete. It just goes to the organization, which I think is mostly the case. And then they'll send you a letter and says, you have indeed, you know, earned your pro card, passed your test. Congratulations. You know, welcome. Welcome to the pro side of the world. And that's
exactly
how it works. So, and you know, the organizations that JB and Joe are looking at are ones that, you know, even though I'm not sure specifically who they are organizations that they have worked with before, credible within the industry, from my understanding. So great question, but I would imagine all of the thought and care and detail that they're putting into this show, they're not going to skimp on one of the most important aspects
exactly.
of it in making
yes.
sure that the athletes are drug-free. So there you go.
And I have to give a shout-out also, and this is like just – I was just thinking back in the past. One of our future guests, Nellie Barger Richardson, she promotes the show, and she had, you know, basically some people that basically whiffed on doing the drug test that had verified that they would be there, and she still said it's going to happen because I have an all-natural show. And I was elected to be one of the people that were taking the specimens, and this fellow basically tried to wait me out, and I told Nellie, you know, like, hey, this guy is not saying he's not ready to go and he's not ready to give a urine sample. So, you know, what are we going to do? And she said, then I got all night. We're not leaving until we get a sample. And it was just so funny because he figured, you know, well, they'll just give up and let this ride. And she would not do it. She would not bend, break. He even wanted to take his gym bag into the stall with him. And she was like, no way. That's not going to happen. So, you know, regardless of what we're hearing from people that are complaining, and yes, there are people that, you know, have, like you said, caused this concern. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be legitimate. And
But she is not one of them, and there's plenty of promoters out there that will go that extra mile to make sure that those competitors are actually stepping on stage with people that are supposed to be there. So, you know, it's done.
Or they just...
And I think... Go ahead.
Or I was just going to say, or the promoters flat out tell you, if you leave the building without providing your urine sample, your win is null and void. It doesn't mean anything. If you don't give a urine sample that can be tested, you don't get to keep your status. So, I mean, it's a pretty serious deal. And most of the promoters are on the up and up 100%. Unfortunately, you know, like Kaylin said, there's a few that have caused the concern, but they are by far the very, very major minority.
Yes. And even, like you said, JB and Joe are trying to cover that concern as well. And no one puts, I can tell you right now, no one's going to put that kind of money together and kind of effort and then say, well, you know, Katie barred the door as far as drug testing. That would be incredibly insane. So we're glad you asked that question, and we're glad that that's a concern, because it's a concern for anybody who should be competing. So I hope that answers it, and I hope Des, with her addition, reflected on it even better.
And there we go. So I think that's the only question I remember from last night that didn't get answered. You may have received some post-show, Kaylin, if you want to go ahead with those.
Yeah, we got two that were asking about the venue and being in the casino, and they were worried about the children. And I think maybe people misunderstood that, because we're not going to be having, it's not going to be in the actual casino area where they have the slot machines and all the other things. It's going to be in part of the building. So I'm quite familiar with casinos, considering that I used to work on one, or actually several in the past. And there's the building itself, which is basically what we would call the venue, is several parts. So you have the hotel area, you have the actual slot gaming area, you have the tables, you have the roulette areas. All these places are in the same building. You have the food, the dining. You know, it's all one building, but there are different sections. So we're going to be, and I say we because we are P4P, so when Des and I are speaking, we can actually speak on behalf of P4P, JB, Joe, and Chad to a certain extent, because we're part of the family ourselves, and they treat us as such. So when we're going to have the venue is actually going to be an area designated for family events where, you know, basically everyone can be involved and invited without being part of, you know, the places where it would be deemed unfit for children. So, you know, great question, and thank you so much for asking. And the next one we had was basically, like I said, the name of the show is not Ho-Chunk. That's the location. Okay? So I can see where it would have people caught off guard, because there's a lot of jokes in that one if you're not careful. So, I won't
it's
even
Ho-Chunk
go there.
Ho-Chunk, Wisconsin. It's Ho-Chunk, Wisconsin. The name of the show is P4P Undefeated in Ho-Chunk, Wisconsin. But anyway, that is kind of funny, though. You know, it's kind of fun to say. You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll let you guys noodle
well,
that.
You know, I said it,
noodle
you
that, roll that
bar.
One around a couple times.
If you have the chunky bar, which part do you want? I want the whole chunk.
I want the whole chunk. There you go. There you go. So there are some of the questions that were left over from last night, but Joe and JB are pretty much going to be back on a monthly basis. So anything that you don't have answers to yet, we will definitely get those to you. And as you know, so P4P is a trio. There are three founders that started the organization, and we have the third with us tonight. Chad Adamovich is here, because you know what? Last time he was on the show talking hypertrophy training, We didn't get all those questions answered either. It's an occupational hazard. So, hey, we said, Kaylin and I and Chad, you got questions, we got answers, and that's what tonight is all about. And we've already got Jake wanting to know if Chad is going to be covering prep and diet. Chad, how are you? What do you want to talk about tonight? We're good.
I don't know. I was actually given a call by Kaylin, and he said he was going to have some questions that people want answered. So I'm open. Open for
All right. So Jake, if you want to hear, there are.
Probably at 1 p.m. today, and he's like, hey, you open to get on a podcast? I'm like, sure, 8 p.m. Does that work?
Yep. So here we are.
I'm ready to rock.
So, Jake, if you want to hear about prep and diet, tonight's your night, because Kaylin's going to ask some questions. Whether they're your specific questions or not, we don't know, but he's going to ask them.
Yes. Now, Chad, I know we're going to have to basically bring you back in with the mentality, because you're so very busy, and I know, sure. Like I said, we're going to steal just a little bit of your time, but I need you to basically get all that information back in. And we're going to get this started right. Because, like, Belinda is a bikini prep. And
sure.
What her issue is that she has found out that her coach has basically been having her take the water pills and not take in significant amounts of water. What
gotcha.
Is the going rate for water consumption in bikini prep, holding a body fat percentage of just under 19, because she's having real issues with cramping, significant issues with the,
sure.
you know, that time of the month. So she's basically getting a plethora of issues, and
yep.
it stems. She thinks it's stemming from the water intake that she's not doing.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm not going to call out any coach, but here's the science side of it. So if they're having her take a diuretic, which is basically something you consume to have your body take more water out of the body, and then what happens is they're also trying to dehydrate her at the same time, your body is very, very smart. So it's going to try to maintain homeostasis no matter what, okay? So what happens is her body is fighting back because it knows it shouldn't be doing this. So what's happening is, she's actually going to start retaining water outside her cell where she wants it. So she's going to come out to be very smooth if she goes on stage in that current state, because there's a lot of water that's going to be putting outside the cell. So what happens is there's a lot of counteraction happening with the body right now. So dehydration is never a good idea no matter what, just because when you're going into prep, the actual science behind it is you actually want water in your body. Inside the muscle cell, because actually that's part of its volume. I mean, your lean mass is basically 70 to 80% water, and if you're trying to get it outside, your muscle volume goes way down, you know. So what happens is you actually want water in the cell. So typically what I tell athletes to do when it comes to prep and everything is you basically, there's no magic to peak week if that's what she's trying to do right now. There's really nothing crazy you can do within that week to get some magic results, okay? And then anytime anybody tries to do some magic and does some crazy stuff, it usually goes to the negative side of causing things you don't want to happen, like losing your definition and losing, you know, your cell volume, like basically your muscle mass size, you know, things like that. So basically what your body needs is homeostasis. So what happens is it wants to stay at an even level and keep the water inside the muscle cell where it should be. So dehydration is never a good idea going into prep. A lot of times you should be consuming your normal water intake, you know, throughout prep and then going into peak week. And then basically the only thing you really do day show a little bit is just have a little less water, but you never dehydrate. I mean, you're not going to want to pound a ton of gallons of water that day, but you definitely don't want to dehydrate, because that's going to just cause negative effects for your image that you're going for. So long story short, combining a diuretic with dehydration is never a good idea. So that scenario, I would just try to eliminate doing that at all, in my opinion. So, but that's just my opinion.
and you know, I know you're speaking very nice because this is something that aggravates you a great deal. And you know, because we're on a show, I hope people don't think we're basically not taking it as serious as it might sound. It's a very serious issue, and the health issues that come from being in that kind of state is it's just striking sometimes that people can just basically just do away with the health concern and the health parameters in the way they do just to get ready for stage. And, you know, like Dez is very fond of saying, you know, it's a two-way street. If somebody's asking you to put your health at risk, you have to be willing to put your health at risk in order to do it. And a lot of times it's done out of ignorance, yes, but that doesn't make it any more right or fair or correct. And I know that's a big thing in the whole P4P family, but significantly with you, since you have to deal with the fallback and fallout of such actions. So, you know, how can someone be wary of it before it gets to the point where she is, you know, where, and you know, she has sent pictures, and she, I would have to say she would look like she's ready to compete, but with the information that I know it's not a good way of going about getting on stage. So, you know, what do you tell someone prior to this, and what do you tell someone during it, and what do you tell someone that basically has to deal with the after effects or side effects from the damage that's being done on a cellular level?
Sure. I mean, you see it a lot, right? You see a lot of people using bad and old information. People are still trying to do things they did in the 70s when it comes to PrEP, and we know it's, you know, highly inaccurate. There was no science behind that, and now we actually have science behind PrEP. So now it's more safe. You don't really do anything crazy during peak week. You make some adjustments, you know, obviously with carbs and fats and things, but as far as, like, water and, like, the whole, like, sodium-potassium thing, I mean, you're going to increase sodium a little bit, you know, during peak week, but you're not going to do this thing where you eliminate any of that kind of stuff, because then you just have negative consequences as well. So a lot of athletes will go in, and there's some athletes that go on extreme restriction diets, you know what I mean, just insane amounts of, like, cardio in addition to really low intake of fuel, like calories and things. So those people are going to be suffering in the long run, because after PrEP, they have to know how to reverse out of that, and it's in a state they shouldn't be anyway for health reasons. You don't need to do that kind of crazy stuff to see results, you know. So the biggest thing is train smarter, and just get good information is the best thing you can do. Do some homework behind, you know, what the coach is telling you to do. There's nothing wrong with questioning your coach. You know, like I have athletes that you'll ask why, and I have no problem explaining why we do it and the science behind it. And it just gives them a little bit more confidence of why, because they hear so much of the bad stuff out there. They're like, well, so-and-so is dehydrating and things like that, and you just tell them the science behind it. And they're like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense, you know. So it's just like knowing what's happening with the body and why you don't have to do crazy stuff. And a lot of times they do the crazy stuff because it makes you feel like you have to rely on the coach to get any results. And, you know, there's a coach there for a reason, right? They need to educate. But if you have a coach doing crazy things during peak week and things are changing drastically, I would say that's probably a red flag, you know. So anybody that comes out of an extreme deficit with, like, tons of cardio, things like that, you have to basically reverse out of that, okay? So you can't go back to eating normal like you were before, because you're in a really delicate state where you're probably going to be adding a lot of fat to your body just because of what you came from. So you basically have to reverse out of that, get healthy again, get your metabolism back to where it should be, and then start over again. So anybody that's going through that, I would suggest, you know, find an educated coach to reverse you out of those bad scenarios, get to a healthy level before you even think about competing again. So I hope that answers the question for you.
Yeah, we got it. We got that covered. And, you know, we could segue right into the next one, which is about the cardio, because you had mentioned that. And, you know, I will piggyback that. Well, no, I will come in on that before we give it over to you. Because one of the things I always just say, I always knew I screwed up in my prep, the more cardio I would end up having to do. meaning, you know, everything was basically off somewhere so much that cardio was necessary, where it should be basically just part of prep and not basically the end-all be-all to finish peak week. And I've always been kind of astounded that so many would basically rely on that so heavily when it's so detrimental to what you're actually trying to get to. And, you know, I know I've had knockdown, drag out disputes with certain coaches because that, like I said, that's basically their bread and butter. Now, how do you convince someone against that kind of thinking when you already know? First it was like maybe 2 or 3 years people were figuring it out. Now we're talking 5, 7 years in where the understanding is this stuff is not as beneficial as people have been basically preaching.
Sure. Well, you're always going to have that separation of the educated and the science community and, you know, what we call, like, bro science, right? So people live and die by that because, you know, maybe they did it when they were competing and, you know, they saw some decent results, you know. And that doesn't mean it's going to apply to everybody or that it's correct, you know. So there's always going to be that separation. You're never going to be able to get everyone on board with what's right. You're always going to have people that still go back to old school methods. I mean, look at boxers, for example. Boxers, they are the hardest athletes to convince of anything because they're so set in their foundation of how the sport was done. So, for example, a boxer will do tons of steady-state cardio like crazy, right? You see them running miles upon miles. But on the science side, you'll find out that boxers shouldn't be running miles and miles and miles for their conditioning because it's not what they're doing. Okay, so you have to have the athlete adapt to their environment to get better. And what's happening is that's not their environment. They're not going at a steady state for miles and miles. They're in a ring for a few minutes of high-intensity work, you know. And what they should be doing is more like a bunch of spits, what they're doing in the ring, right? Throwing a bunch of punches, recover a little bit, throw a bunch of punches. So you're doing a bunch of sprints, basically. So you got to condition your heart like you would for the sport. So a simple thing as boxers is an example. Like, they don't change because it's very hard for them to get out of their old methods of coaching. So you'll have, like, a boxer, like, well, it worked for me, you know, so they got a bunch of young athletes doing it. And it just doesn't – just because it's not right, they just continue to do it, and they just think, well, I had success, you know. So – the science is continuing to go more and more and faster, and you're getting more and more strength and conditioning centers with actual professionals in there running those things and changing the mindset. So you're still going to have tons of old-school coaches out there that are just, you know, hard-headed, convinced in their ways. You can, you know, shove science up their nose, and they're still not going to change, you know. So sometimes you just can't fix stupid, you know. It's just there's nothing you can do about it. So all you can do is try to educate them the best you can, say, here are the facts. You know, if you don't like it, that's fine. Go do your thing, you know. So if the conditioning's not on point, you know why, you know. So those are the kind of things. So, like, as far as the bodybuilding world goes, what you're talking about is probably a lot of athletes doing, like, insane amount of cardio. Is that what you're talking about, like, for prep? Okay, yeah. So that's just another thing, too. Like, cardio should be used as a tool for prep, right? It should not be you have to do – hundreds of hours of cardio to see results. It's not the case. In fact, I have an athlete right now that does zero cardio. We maybe do a couple like wind gates, which is like high intensity intervals, you know, once in a great while, like a couple weeks here and there, if we got to, you know, twist some things and get some things ready. But other than that, her entire prep, very little cardio, you know, and she's like shredded. So it just goes to show you don't have to do insane amounts of cardio to see results. And you actually would see detrimental effects if you do too much, obviously, right? So your body's going to fight against you eventually if it's too much. And that's when you start seeing really bad dips in metabolism and health issues if you're on low intake and doing hours and hours of cardio. So that's where you really find those people that have those really bad metabolic issues coming out of prep just because they did it really poorly. So then they have to reverse. And sometimes it's really hard to reverse people out. You know, I've had athletes that were messed up from other people, and it takes a long time to reverse them out of that, you know, because there is so much damage done. So things like that, you don't need insane amount of cardio. Use it as a tool. Cardio is a tool It's there if you need it, you know. So, and, you know, same thing with that is basic cardio. If you want to do it, that's fine. But I think I mentioned it before, the outcome of that, you burn so little during and so little after that you kind of got to pick the best route for you, what's going to work through your schedule too. So.
And you know, I keep saying, because it's truly a concern for me, you know, I can't imagine any sport that I had to do or I chose to do where I said it's worth my health. You know, there were times where I pushed the limit, you know, simply because of my competitive nature. But going through the door, I'm basically putting my health, my personal health at risk just to do what? Because that was always the end question. You know, what is my goal in all of this? You know, if it's a team sport, I want the guys and myself to basically come together as one and win this game. But if somebody has to basically bleed out as the game is happening, I would just be horrified. And I would look at the coach in such a way like, this guy should never be involved in sports. And yet in bodybuilding, it seems like, oh, well, you know, he got in first place. And you would be saying, well, that's insane. And yet that's exactly, you know, what we're on par with doing with our competitors' health when we have bad coaching.
Sure.
Because, you know, they don't come back. You can have that trophy, but it's a reminder of everything you did wrong to win it. And who wants that as a memory? I can't see the end game being where, okay, it was worth it. Because that's
right,
the one thing you want to speak on quite a bit. Go ahead.
I agree with you. Anything you're doing, it's not worth risking your life over and completely changing how you live your life, you know? Like, if you have to be on meds the rest of your life because you mess yourself up so bad. So it's not obviously not worth it, you know, especially for, you know, some of the stuff we're, like, competing for. You know, you're not competing for $1 million, you know? Like, it's not life-changing money you're winning right now. So it's not really, you know, worth it. But it's the other thing goes into the athlete mindset, you know, athlete psychology. I'm sure you heard of that one study where they had a questionnaire for a bunch of Olympians. And if you know, Olympians don't make a ton of money. You know what I mean? They're there for the love of it, you know? And obviously there's endorsements and stuff that come along. But other than that, it's not like they're making bank doing it, you know? So but what's happening is that they did it's just the athlete mindset and the psychology, and they're so in tune with their sport that they're literally willing to do anything to win, you know. And now, obviously, the Olympians an extreme example, but they were surveyed and they were questioned, you know, if you were to take something and it would guarantee you the gold medal, but you would die in a few years, would you still do it? And a decent percentage said yes, you know. So it just goes down to the psychology of sports and where they're at mentally, they're into it, you know. So it comes down to a lot of, you know, health psychology and where they're at and, you know, maybe getting that reality back. Like, hey, you know, you still got a life to live outside of this, you know. Like, you're not, you know, supporting the family after a bodybuilding show, unfortunately, you know. So the biggest thing is just find out where you're at, make sure your mental health is there, you're not willing to risk your life to win a trophy. And make sure you're still enjoying the sport, too, because that's what you see a lot, too, is people go through it, and if they do it wrong, it was a horrible experience, and they never want to do it again. But if they did it right, it might not be that bad. You know what I mean? Like, it does, like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Don't get me wrong. Like, prep is hard. Like, you're doing something that most can't even fathom. So I'm not trying to take away from that, but there's another line of stupid, too. You know, so, like, you know, regardless, it's hard to get where you want to be. And like, you're going to have days where you just want to, like, give up, and that's where your coach comes in and keeps it moving. But you got to do it smart, too, you know. So it's going to be hard regardless, but there's a fine line of, you know, it's hard, but it's smart, and it's hard and it's stupid, you know, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, no, what you're saying is you're doing something, and you're learning, and you're growing. And the coach is basically the person that sees the potential that you can't see as of yet. But it shouldn't be a life or death issue or a good health or bad health issue. as you go through the process. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people are disconnecting from when they're basically saying, well, you know, I've been asked to do this, and I'm saying, you know, there's alarms running through my head as soon as I hear the statement. And they're saying, you know, but my coach, you know. And so, you know, you get the trust back. Like you said, there has to be some trust, and there has to be some communication. But it's not a controlled – I mean, the environment would be more controlled as far as on the parameters of health. I would love to have that where you say, you know, this is the line we will not cross when it concerns your health. But when you say, you know, I said it, so you do it, then I do have an issue with that. And I always have an issue with that because
sure.
Every good educator, every good teacher always has a reason why it's being done.
Sure. And then, the big thing with that, too, is there's no regulating body overseeing these coaches. You know what I mean? It's it's a wild, wild west when it comes to, like, the fitness industry. So, for example, like, if you were to work at a university, you have people overseeing what you're doing to make sure it's going to be effective and safe for athletes, regardless of what level you're at, right? So you have a governing body watching you, basically, to make sure things are right. And things are going wrong, you get talked to. But basically, in the bodybuilding world, someone can have zero credentials, do one show, become a coach, and now they're, you know, telling people to do crazy things, and there's nothing governing that, you know. Unless someone brings up a lawsuit and tries to sue them, that's one thing, but 9 times out of 10 it doesn't happen because the competitors don't know any better. They don't know it's wrong, you know. So they see that that person had success, and they feel like they should do what they do, you know. So it's just one of those things. It's all about education, and there's no real governing body to catch these people right now. So it's all up to the athletes to kind of turn them in kind of thing, you know. So pretty crazy world that we're in, especially the natural bodybuilding world and things of that nature. But I think the best thing people could do is just, you know, check credentials, check their history, check what they do, and question everything. You know, as we went through, like professors and everything, even though you see a study, question it because that study, the person doing the study, you might have misinterpreted the data. The data never lies, but the interpretation of it could be wrong, right? So you want to question everything regardless of what you do. So if, you know, even if you have a ton of credentials and education and you get questioned, just provide the answers of why you do it. If you can't provide an answer of why you do it, then you probably shouldn't be doing it in the first place. So
yes. Especially,
that's kind of
like
my
I said, when you're talking about someone's health, you're talking about someone's life, and I can't ever see anyone taking that for granted monetarily and thinking they're benefiting anyone other than themselves, because it's truly frightening when you think about a mom or a husband or a dad, and they can't be themselves around their families, who they go home to every day, when they're basically, like you said, it's going to be hard. I mean, I don't know any sport that isn't. There's going to be times where you just don't want to do, and that's fine. Those days happen. Those are the dog days. We used to call it hitting the wall. You know, all of these things happen because basically people are preparing you for the worst day, but it's not going to be a part of health, and that's the part that always, you know, frightens me, that so many can just basically step beyond that and say, well, yeah, because I got them ready for this show. And, yeah, they're going to use your picture, and, yeah, they're going to have you highlighted. But when you see what would we used to call the off-season, it would scare you. And these people aren't even resembling anything remotely close to what they showed on stage. And that should – it simply should not be. But we could go back and forth on this one for a long time. But we have to get to the next topic, and that's the diet. Because, you know, like you said, there was a lot of information back in the day, and, yeah, it got you through the prep, but it didn't really get you through to health. And, I mean, that's my soapbox, and I'll be on it my whole life, is that, you know, I just can't see forsaking your health for anything. And you know, when people are basically saying, I'll eat this at the risk of my health, or I'll drink this at the risk of my health, or I'll take this at the risk of my health, I'm saying then you were never mentally a natural athlete. You might have stepped on a natural stage, and you might not have been using drugs in the beginning, but you were well on your way mentally, because that was the end result, anyway. But for the natural athlete, the one that basically is looking for foods that aren't going to damage them on the cellular level, you know, basically cause issues with the internal organs. And that's a big thing that people basically just run right past, is the, what's happening on the inside of their bodies and then just what it looks like on the outside. So, you know, I know you're well in depth with this. So what are the, some of the things that you should notice when you're talking about a diet prep, food prep, that should be an alarm or alert you that something is going horribly wrong with your prep?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I see what you're asking. There's so many things you could go over, but some obvious signs are going to be like blood in your urine, you know, things like that. I've seen it backstage where athletes were, urinating blood, and they were still told to, you know, get back on stage kind of thing. Like, it's pretty crazy. So obviously things like that, severe dehydration, that's something to look at. So basically when it comes to, you know, dehydrating, if you're dehydrating for like a week, and I mean like very limited water, that's dumb to start with. You're not going to get the results you want. But if you're dehydrating for extreme periods of time, that would be a case to kind of run and go the opposite direction. There's other, a bunch of symptoms you could look at, but some of them might be confused by just like hard training, you know, like severe fatigue and stuff, sleep patterns go off. That's just signs of like overtraining. But, you know, sometimes you're going to have that because prep is tough. To be honest with you, like natural bodybuilding, it's tough. Like you're going weeks upon weeks, you know, 20 plus weeks of prep, just getting the body ready, and you're training a lot. And I've been through all the sports as far as strength conditioning goes, trained numerous different athletes. And to be honest with you, much respect to all athletes out there, but the natural bodybuilding world is just at another level when it comes to prep. You know, like the amount of dedication and time it takes, like you're taking 20 plus weeks of prep, you know, like we're not saying like hockey's not hard, hockey's very hard, but like you can go out and have a few beers after the game, you know? Like you can, but like, you know, obviously the nutrition side of prep for bodybuilding is at just another level, you know? So, things like that, it's insanely hard. So, like, when you're going through prep, there's going to be signs that you might be confused by that are completely normal and you shouldn't run. You know, like, if you're really fatigued, things like that, you're going to have periods of time during your prep where you're just extremely fatigued, you know. So that's where maybe your coach want to look at sleep patterns, looking at, you know, what's your hydration like, you know, what's your intake of fuel like right now. Are we doing too much for the intake? You know, are you losing weight, too much weight too fast? You know, things like that. There's numerous things you kind of look at, kind of signs, okay, we got to backpedal a little bit. There's the fact that there's so many signs, it's really hard to say what to look out for because there's some normal things, like I said, that just come up during prep, you know. So, like, if you feel like you're extremely fatigued, well, part of that could be just part of the process, you know what I mean, because you're going to have days where you're just tired. So that's a tough one. But big ones, honestly, blood in the urine, things like that. If you're not sleeping like at all, that's obviously a sign of something's wrong. You got to backpedal a little bit, things like that. So that's a hard question to answer directly, but hopefully it gave you some ideas.
Yeah, no, but, you know, I know there's some listeners. We have three right now that are saying, you know, if I had blood in my urine, I wouldn't step on stage. And I can tell you right now, Sam, Letty, and Bill, all of you guys, I'm telling you right now, I saw someone compete at the Jordan Cup, and they had blood in their urine, and they looked awful, and they said, you know, I shouldn't have done it. But they were, like Chad was saying, they're so in tune with what they're doing and getting ready that basically I got this far, I'm going to go that much further and finish the deal. That they, and, I mean, it was just frightening to learn that information. And, you know, even when we asked the coach, you know, what, well, I can't really say on air what we asked, but it was more to the point of, you know, how could you? And he basically just threw it off and said, well, you know, it was the strength trainer's issue. He did something with the workouts and the time in the gym. And with the knowledge that I have, I was mortified because I said that there's nothing in that street training that she was doing, because actually she and I had shared the gym during her prep, because she was one of those that had to get away from her home gym to get the prep.